a good story, isn't it? It stands by itself. It has a lot of detail. You know, somebody was there and took notes, at least, as to what happened. Did you see what time of year it was? It's there in the text. It's springtime. It's Passover time. Feast of Unleavened Bread. There's a crowd of people in Jerusalem. They had come from all over to celebrate Passover. From all over the world, Jews that had been dispersed around. They were there. It was a special time, a good occasion. Ah, a plane. You know, I pastored a church for 9 years in Seattle that was at the end of the airport. I could pretty much tell you what kind of plane it was flying over. We had to stop completely to let them fly by. You know, that was a 727 Alaska Airlines. It's going to Fairbanks. It has 135 passengers on board, four flight attendants and three pilots. After 9 years of hearing it, you get to know what it is. And the 727s were particularly noisy then. So it's like coming home. So here was Peter in jail. Herod had come to kind of keep order in the town. He was the king. There used to be a governor, but the governor didn't work out. The folks in Jerusalem had complained about the governor. Replaced him with a king. He lived way up in Joppa, above Joppa. He lived in Tyre, Sidon, quite a ways up. He came down for the occasion. He's a politician. Do you know about politicians? We're in a political season. You see politicians all over the board, depending who their constituency is. I could become most like you. And the constituency here did not like the kid. Christians, and so he had one killed. It's James, the brother of John, one of the sons of Zebedee. They were noted for their loudness. Maybe he was too outspoken. Maybe that's why they picked him. He was brought in and killed summarily. Once he was dead, the Jews said, "Thank you, that was wonderful. Do it again. But do it publicly, and we can make a spectacle out of these people." He says, "Okay," and arrested Peter. Good politician, follow the people. And so Peter is in jail among a squad of soldiers. Peter is actually sleeping. Could you sleep during this? Here he is. He's laying down, one arm in a chain, another on a chain. At the end of the chain is a soldier. And Peter is sleeping. I couldn't sleep. Could you? First of all, he's laying on the ground. Where's Peter? Let me borrow Peter here a second. Come on up. I'm going to give you a hard time. You can be very first in line today. Peter was laying down on the ground. Let's make this where Peter was laying down. Okay. His arms are out. There's chains on either side of him. And he's sleeping. What's the church doing, by the way? It's praying. You can sit up just a minute. I'll lay you down again. Stay right here. Because that isn't... Was that comfortable? No. Now, jails are not made to be comfortable, are they? At least the ones I've heard about. And the ones I've seen in the old Wild West places. So Peter is laying down on the ground. There's a soldier to either side. He's chained in and he is sleeping. What trust he has in God. It's amazing. Knowing that the next day, Herod intends, and it says, to bring him out. That means to bring him out to execution. You're going to die tomorrow. Could you sleep? No, I couldn't. I couldn't. I'd have a hard time doing that. Now the church, you're the church, you're praying. There's a prayer meeting called in many of the house churches throughout Jerusalem. We only read of one, but there are many others. Remember, Peter said, go tell James, you saw that. So there are many other house churches, but they're praying. The church has called together, said, we're in desperate times. Persecution is here. We need to pray to God regarding what is taking place. So the church is playing, and you're sleeping. Okay, there he is. Doesn't take much to put somebody to sleep on Sabbath morning. Sometimes the church is called together to pray. I remember as a kid, country of Colombia was having persecution. The church, Adventist church around the world, was called to pray for what was happening to the church there. Actually, today, churches in the Columbia Union Conference, which is located on the East Coast, has asked their churches to pray because they have a constituency meeting tomorrow that's going to decide whether women can be ordained or not. If you want to join them later in prayer or remember them, I'm sure they would appreciate it. But the church asks for prayer. It's a community thing that comes together. The church prays, but Peter sleeps. But do you stay asleep, Peter? That's nice now, isn't it? You're getting used to it. It says, the angel of the Lord came. What changed in that cell? What does it say happened? It came, but when the angel of the Lord was present, there was something else present. There was light. Have you ever noticed in Scripture that when the Bible talks about God coming often, there is light? In the beginning, God created. And what did God say? When God comes, there is light. Now, I've often wondered, I go to many, many churches, I've often wondered that when they come to the prayer time, they make it dark in the church. Turn the lights way down. Have you ever wondered that? If we're coming into the presence of God, let's turn the lights up. It's a bright time. When God comes, when God is present, when God's emissaries are present, there is light. It is not a shadowy, dark time. There is light. But there was not enough light to wake up Peter, nor the guards. Now, look at the text. What does it say that the angel does to wake Peter? He what? He touches him. Where? Where is Peter's side? Take a look. So here the angel. I'm no angel. You know, I'm going to touch Peter in the side. How am I going to do it? I'm going to use my foot. Careful, Peter. Like that. The angel kicked Peter in the side to wake him up. Peter wakes up. You can wake up, Peter. And it says the chains drop off. Have you ever heard chains fall? Now, there are plastic chains you can get at Home Depot. If they were to drop off, you know, because... But a chain went clank, 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 clank. And the soldiers were still asleep. And what does the angels tell Peter to do? Get up. Get up. Peter stands up. Okay. By the way, the angel sounds like Peter's mother here, with all kinds of instructions. Now this get up that Peter says is the same words that are used earlier in Acts for a lady named Tabitha or Dorcas when they said to her who was dead, get up. Was Peter dead? He was sleeping. He would be dead within 24 hours. Maybe these words, get up, were words of resurrection that the angel was using. But Peter got up. And then what does Peter have to do? There's a light. He's kicked. Get up. You have to do it quickly. The chains fall off. He says, fasten your belt and put on your sandals. Okay, very good. lace them up, get the belt around you. You're good. I should have brought more props with me. So it says that he did so. He said, wrap your cloak around you. I got to give you a cloak. Here's my chance to get rid of my coat for a minute. Wrap your cloak around you. And then it says, the angel says, follow me. Now, where else do you hear the words, follow me in Scripture? When? Jesus. And who did Jesus say that to? His disciples. He had said it to Peter before. He's hearing it again. It is a call to discipleship, in a sense. He says, Peter, follow me. And so Peter follows them. They go past. The two guards here are sleeping. There are two more guards up here guarding the area. And they come to the gate, and the gate opens. Swings open. The Bible's, in fact, it is history's first Walmart experience. When you go out of Walmart, what happens?
The doors open.
Yeah, they open automatically, don't they? This had never happened in the history until now. Walmart had its precursor 2,000 years ago. So the doors open. They get out on a lane. Oh, Peter's following. We get out here on the lane. And Peter is wondering what's going on. And suddenly the angel disappears. And he's out there all alone. And Peter makes a speech. Remember your speech? Nope. It's here. It's in the text. You can find it. It's on the second page. Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Okay. But just before that, if you turn the page, and you can sit down if you'd like, Peter. You're good. Just before that, it says, Peter came to himself. Just before the speech. Have you heard those words in Scripture before? Very interesting story that all of you know. Someone came to himself, the story says. You find it in Luke 15. Luke is the same guy that wrote this story. So he may have liked these words. I don't know. In that chapter, Jesus tells three stories. A lost coin. A lost lamb, sheep. And a lost boy. And the boy is feeding pigs. And it says, he came to himself. God gives you, just like Peter, the opportunity to understand and know the things of God. There's no magic about it. You find it in Scripture with a close reading of the Bible for yourself. God speaks to you. You come to yourself. You understand, here is where I am. You recognize kind of the aha moment. Aha! I'm not dreaming, Peter says. This is a thing about God. And then Peter has to decide what to do. I'm out here. Where do I go? Let's see. This is the corner of Levi and Judah. And let's see. Mary's house is down the way here. Now, Mary's house must have been quite some house. It has a gate. Probably had two floors. Probably had a courtyard. Probably a good-sized house. And probably Mary was pretty well-to-do. Because we know she has at least one servant. Her name is Rhoda. or a rosebud. And she has a responsibility. She's assigned to open the door if anybody comes, or check the door. So Mary is pretty good. It says also she is the mother of John Mark. Now, John is a good Hebrew name. Mark is a Gentile name. And so she was probably a part of the group that was not fully qualified Jews who were living there in Jerusalem, kind of on the edge. Some have even said, and by the way, her John Mark's uncle is Barnabas, so that probably makes Barnabas Mary's sister. Barnabas is one of the missionaries that went with Paul on a trip. And so you're getting kind of a feeling of what it is. There are some that have even suggested that Mary's house was where the upper room had been. Don't know that for sure. Kind of is a nice thought. And the church had gathered there, and they were praying, and Peter makes his way to the gate of the house. And can you imagine this? They're in there fervently praying, and the answer to their prayer is standing at the gate. Good news, isn't it? Good news. I like that. How often do we pray and we don't recognize the answer to the prayer that is there? In fact, sometimes we pray, but we pray with a view of expecting God to answer in the way we want Him to answer. This is the right way to answer it, God. You better do it this way. They were praying for Peter to be released, but not probably the way that God released him. They clearly did not expect him at the door. And so Peter knocks on the door. And Rhoda comes to the door to open it, and she hears Peter's voice and recognizes him.
Open the door.
That's right. And what does Rhoda do? She runs back. And what do you want to tell Rhoda? Rhoda, open the door. We're reading the story. We know the end. Open the door, Rhoda. Where are you? What are you thinking about? It's dangerous out there. Rhoda, open the door for Peter. Nope. She runs back in. And she says, Peter is at the door. Okay, you were the crowd. You were the people praying. What do you say? You're out of your mind. You're crazy. The prayer is answered. You're crazy. Have you ever heard that? Because the prayer was not answered in the way we expect. Sometimes we have a hard time letting God be God and letting God function in the way that God can purely, truly function in the community. I mentioned what's happening in the Columbia Union. We have a constituency session coming up in a few weeks that we will deal with the same issue here in the Pacific Union. What is interesting, when God calls people to ministry, it takes a while for the church to recognize God's work. When we recognize somebody that is called to pastor, it takes so long that at that particular point, when God has clearly called that person, and we see that God is working in our midst, we will ordain them. Now, this is not a biblical concept, because really ordination is not found in the Bible as we practice today. But we ordain them. For some reason, churches have a hard time seeing women being called by God. But when you see the fruit of what they do and recognize what is there, it behooves me to say, Come receive the blessing of the church. We see that God is working in our midst through you too. That's the issue here. We pray one thing, and God answers in a way we are not expecting. And when it happens, Rhoda is crazy. Rhoda, open the door! Rhoda doesn't. And the people, she insists, it is Peter. I know his voice. He's outside at the door, and Peter continues to knock. I've got a good Peter here. You can go to the front of the line next Sabbath, too. Marty, make sure that happens. They say it's not Peter. It's his angel. Now, that's kind of strange to us. How could Peter's angel be at the door? Well, there was a particular belief that was around, not just among Jews, but among Gentiles, that somehow your angel looked like you. I feel bad for my angel. Not only did the angel look like you, it spoke like you, it acted like you. And even in the Greek culture, there were demons. You may have had a demon, and the same thing took place. So they're looking at the time and saying, aha, it's his angel that has come. Herod is already put to death. Why are you praying then? But sometimes we ascribe other things to answered prayer than what is real. Oh, it just happened. It was by chance. Shouldn't have happened that way. That couldn't be. We're saying it's his angel, it's not Peter. But Rhoda continued to insist. And it says, if you notice, and when they, notice it says they, doesn't said Rhoda went out and opened the gate. The entire prayer meeting got up from where they were praying. They walked out in the courtyard, out to the gate, and says, when they opened the gate, they saw, not just Rhoda saw, they saw, and they were amazed. God answers prayer. Maybe not in the way we expect. But God does answer prayer. And they were amazed. Now something else happened, it seems. If you are confronted with an answered prayer, what do you do? Well, right now you'll text everybody. I saw a cartoon this week in the newspaper. Bizarro, I think it is. Got to read this high-class stuff to really catch what's happening. Here this kid was bringing a jar with a bug in it to class. And a bug was crawling around, and the class was sitting there watching it. And he had his PDA, his smartphone in his hand. And he was working the smartphone, and everybody else was on their smartphone, and the sign on the board said, text and tell. Or should it be show and text? Something like that. So show and text. And everybody was receiving the text. But he said, calm down. Let's be quiet. Let's not rouse the neighbors. There's been enough tonight. I don't want to wake those sleeping guards. They're going to come to eventually and find I'm not there. They came in, they rejoiced, they thanked God for answered prayer. He gave them instructions. Tell this to James, not the one that was killed, this is the brother of Jesus, and to the believers what has happened, and Peter left town for another place. In fact, they even tell you where he went. He ends up in Caesarea. The aftermath of the whole story, those poor guards got in trouble. There was a thing that if your prisoner got away, you got the punishment that the prisoner was to get if you were the guard. Otherwise, if he was successfully executed, you get his clothes. Big deal. Peter was gone. The jail was frantic. Herod heard about it. Did a search. Couldn't find out what had happened at all. No one could figure it out. The guards were killed as being disloyal in some form. Things didn't work well for Herod. He goes back home. Peter heads to Caesarea. And if you read the rest of the chapter, starting at the end, starting in verse 20, you find out what happens. When you don't like somebody, you don't like them. And you don't feel bad when something bad happens to them. It seems to take place here. Herod goes back to Tyre and Sidon. There's some community dispute. He's asked to settle a dispute between these communities regarding food and the transfer of food. The communities have got the chambermen to set up a meeting. Herod sits on a chair on a stage. He's dressed in his finery. His robes shine. And he gives a speech. And the people said, it's just like hearing the voice of God. And he thinks, that's a good idea. I like that. That rings well with me. And it says that worms got into him and he died of worms. If you don't like him, you kill him in a pretty graphic way. That happens with Herod. And it says in the very last verse, the church grows. Now there's one other thing I want to show you in this text and then summarize. There's something interesting. I'm not sure how to interpret it. But it is there. What time of the year was this? Passover. One of the church leaders had died. There is a type of resurrection. There's a young lady that is used to communicate to the church that does not believe that a resurrection has taken place, in a sense. They tell her she's crazy. And they don't believe until they see for themselves. The other thing that is interesting in this is really the last Peter story we have in Acts. He appears in Acts 15 at the council. He makes a statement. James, the brother of Jesus, really doesn't like the statement, and I'll show you someday why that's the case, but it's very clear in the text. And then you see him in Galatians. He's there where Paul stands Cephas to the face, but pretty much He's done in the story. At least the story goes a different... He continues his ministry, believe me. But the story of the book of Acts goes a different direction. And Peter's not a part of that direction. Not any fault of his own, but just because the church is broadening to a world. You see the parallel that might be here? Before Jesus was killed, John the Baptist was. Jesus was brought to crucifixion during Passover time. It was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He took the bread of communion. This is my body. From the table at the Feast of Unleavened Bread time. It's the same time of the year. And then you have resurrection words. You know, get up. You have the call to discipleship. Go on, follow me. And then you have Rhoda, the young lady, who announces to the community the great work that God has done, just as Mary had done years before to the disciples. Just a footnote, don't tell me that women do not have a place to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've missed this one. It is Mary, that is the first evangelist that announces Jesus is risen. It is Rhoda that says, the good news continues. Peter's at the door. If we didn't have these women, we wouldn't have had that message. But such a clear parallel. And then Peter goes, Jesus is ascended. We wait for the return of Jesus Christ. But what a story. Peter to be able to sleep comfortably at death's door because his trust is in his God. Church that rallies around to pray and to participate in encouraging what things are about, where help is needed. Recognizing the times that you and I pray like that, but are not necessarily open to recognizing what truly is the things of God. That our prayers get answered in ways that we don't expect, calling for us to be as open to the things of God as we possibly can. What a story. It's good news. It's about us. And it's about our need then to go and tell the church, the others that are praying, your prayer is answered. There is hope. There is a time that is coming. The good news is there for us to proclaim.